Hey, it's Mike from The Cut Music. Wanted to let you know that today's episode is being brought to you by Skillshare.com. Skillshare.com has thousands of courses, even masterclasses, on any topic that you can think of. And we're talking from professional to the creative. So if you got a passion, go check it out. Take one of their courses on film or audio production, music creation, painting, or jump over to the professional side and polish up your resume to make sure you impress on your next interview. And guess what? We got you covered. Head to the link in the description and be sure to enter promo code ANNUAL30AFF. Again, that is annual, the number 30, A as in alpha, F as in Frank. F as in Frank, and save yourself 30% on your annual subscription. Help support this channel. We really appreciate it. Now, let's get to the show. On this week's episode of The Cut.
Crescendo on the end of that?
It's not the same. It's not the same release. One testicle is for beautiful music, and the other is is for like the anger fucking release. And so I'm very heavy to the right side right now.
Walking with a lean.
Gross.
I'm walking with a lean. The fuck?
People think he's a pimp, but nah, he's just
fully nutted. I've just been listening to Run the Jewels. I'm really heavy.
He's running
side.
Those jewels. Yeah. They're running him, I should say.
Well, I can't run with my right jewel. It's too heavy. Welcome to The Cut Music. We are your hosts, Mike and
The Moosh.
And Brad.
Hey, we all did it that time.
Yeah. We nailed it.
Yes, we did. I will find out in post.
You know, let's just throw a bunch of auto-tune on that and see what happens.
No, my shit was flat as hell.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
So, yes, welcome to The Cut Music, where we ask a question, build a unique playlist, and discuss. So, today we are doing outros because we song intros was
outros
so always a outros? Question mark. So we did song intros last year for our very first episode, and then for like right after for the actual anniversary, like the year that we completed, we did song outros again. We haven't done outros.
Yeah.
Right.
No, this will be a first time. This is a, we talked about it. I remember bringing it up thinking, you know, we should do an outros song or outros episode. And, it's a lot harder to find songs with the outros. Cause you find the song like, oh, this is a great song. And you're like, oh wait,
the outro is just
the outro. Or... Okay. Yeah. This counts. This qualifies.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of not finishing songs. So I'll like skip to another song as I get past like the main chunk of it.
I don't understand how people fucking do this. Okay, let the fucking song play, Brad. I don't know how you just hit the next button.
I'm the worst at it. Do not let me DJ a party. I will actually listen to this song.
I've been on road trips. We had road trip episode a couple weeks ago. I've been on road trip that was just the person in charge of music would play 45 seconds tops of a track and then skip to the next song. And I'm mid-belting, part of the lyrics. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm just giving you my demo.
I'm just telling you, let the fucking song play. Now, right? Don't go around skipping tracks.
I feel like I'm in the middle here. And honestly, between the three of us, I'm the only one that has mastered the pull outro. Out of the two of you, out of the three of us.
Oh, so,
I'm the only one without kids. But I'll take the middle of the road, Moosh. I totally agree with you, but there's times where I just want to hear the first 3.5 to 4 minutes of Freebird.
Well, that
I don't need the
okay. You know what? Okay, So I would add.
I don't need that. Sometimes
I'm gonna add a little addendum to my rant. Is there are certain songs that it's like, oh, okay, let's wrap this up. Like it's that, you know, time's a ticking. I got life to live.
There's a few Metallica songs, Sanitarium, The Day That Never Comes, where it's like it's a whole song and then it's 3 to 4 minutes of jam for the outro.
Mm-hmm. And I love a good jam, but there was a song that I almost made my list today, by John Frusciante, of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And the song outro, mm-hmm. like where it starts the outro and it's the same kind of beat throughout the rest of the ending of the song, mm-hmm. is still like 3.5 minutes, and it's just Flea doing like the same kind of bass
yeah.
thing going on. It's fantastic. So it's a great song.
There's exceptions. To put it this way, you should not skip until after. If there's another chorus coming up, you have to live with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
you got to listen through the end of the final chorus at least.
Sometimes I just want to put on another song.
See, but like this takes me back to the days. Like I kind of miss being able to channel surf, but in the same way, like I kind of don't, because Moosh, like you were saying, it drives me nuts when I'm driving, especially, and my wife is in the passenger seat, and I don't want to talk in the car. I don't want to talk. I have music on. Leave me alone. Okay. I'm vibing. Right. And I'll be just like rocking out to a song, and then all of a sudden, some hand comes over from the peasant seat. What gives her the right to think that she could just touch my radio and hit the skip button and ruin my entire vibe?
You know what's the only thing I can think of that's worse than skipping a track mid song is if they put on a track, or if you're flipping through radio, like old radio, you know, FM radio, and you get like the song comes on, or the song that you the channel that you switch to has a song that's ending,
yeah,
and it's just the last 30 seconds, uh-huh. like it's just the outro, then I'm like, fuck, now I gotta plug in my phone, you know, or back
now
in the
I
day
hear
so
that
I
song.
Can plug in my yeah. iPod and listen to that song, because I can't just hear the last 30 seconds. It's gonna drive me
it's
mad
crap.
That song's gonna be replaying in my brain for the next month and a half.
But I do like one good thing that streaming replacing cable with channel flipping has done is like you can't as easily do that anymore.
Yeah,
like that, so that's made it a little bit easier. But hey, speaking of other streaming services or platforms or whatever, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at the Cuts Music One, and for everything else, including our merch store, where we proudly present Mental Health is Metal Health. A healthy metal life leads to a healthy mental life, and all proceeds from that categorized branded merchandise, all proceeds of that go to benefit those that are struggling with mental health. And with that out,
what
is there a pig?
That was his metal scream.
Oh.
No, yeah, my
he was deathcoring.
Benefit, yeah. Yes, go benefit Horace the metal pig. Now I feel like we need to make like a stuffed animal and put it on there. Horace the metal pig.
Dude, you know what
every
sounds metal super heads, metal?
Like service animal.
Mike, you have dogs. You know what sounds metal is getting those little hedgehog toys. Uh-huh. You know the ones that you know the ones. I think they're called Buddhas, little hedgehogs.
Okay.
If you squeeze the shit out of that and then just slowly let air come back in, it is the most death metal thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my uncle has one of those toys for his dog, and it is black death metal. Fucking awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
Maybe we should do something with Horace the Metal Pig.
Yeah.
It's
mascot.
Mascot, dude. It's every metalhead service animal. The preferred service animal for metalheads. I gotta do something with that. And we have recently rebranded our mental health is or mental health is mental health merchandise. We got a new artist to put some stuff together, so woohoo! Yeah, so I'll be sharing that, and we got a pretty cool logo and stuff that we're gonna put all that on. So anyway,
how low can we go?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point, right?
Right.
So so as we said, today we're doing outros, and I got four picks today, so I guess I will take the reins here now.
And I don't want to mislead anybody by thinking, you know, our first episode was intros and now we're doing outros. This isn't our last episode. We'll be back next week.
You know, it's funny.
I want to make sure that's clear.
It's funny. I actually hesitated to do this episode because I'm like, look, if we ever do end the show one day for whatever reason, we save outros.
Oh, so if this episode doesn't air this coming week, then
no,
if you're not
fine.
Hearing this until the year 2030 something. You'll know.
Yeah, you'll know. No, we'll release this. But I mean, this is part of a this is part of like a little like series idea that I had. We did intros. We're doing outros. We'll do bridges. Bridges will come up at some point because there are some
mid-tros.
Mid-tros?
It's in the middle of the song. It's the mid-tro.
Are you going to tell him?
I don't feel like I should have to. You want to? Do you want to tell the guy that Rick Rubin calls for help?
Yeah.
About mid-tros?
Speaking of Rick Rubin, you brought up, you texted me the other day about the latest SNL that happened where they brought back the hip-hop group or whatever. And it was the, God, what was it called?
But they had Rick Rubin, one of the guys was playing.
Yeah.
Dude, when I saw that Timothy Chalamet was hosting again, I'm like, oh my God, I hope they fucking redo this. And unfortunately, Pete Davidson wasn't there, but it was the first sketch that they aired after they opened.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so funny. And they had Rick Rubin. He was like, yeah, it just really brings everything together and space and time and peace. And
he gets spanked by fucking Cornel West, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
But it wasn't the same without Pete Davidson, though. The original...
You never loved me, Mom.
Anyway.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it is good. All right, so to start off today, I was thinking, now, we recently lifted some bans. We had ban notices on a few artists, and I have, two have been recently lifted, and Led Zeppelin is one of them, and I have another one on this list, too, because they're just my favorite outros. And while this one is... the song I'm going to play is Rock and Roll, all right, off of Led Zeppelin 4. This isn't one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. I love it, but it's one of those things where it's one of those songs where the intro and the outro are equally as iconic, and it's both intro and outro. I don't know about mid-tro. It's really the organ
or it's like confounded bridge.
it's both led by the drums. Which is great. The second, if you know Zeppelin, the second you hear this song, you know that it's Rock and Roll off of Led Zeppelin 4. Here we go. Okay. I said it was iconic. Not only is it almost impossible to not air drum or bang on the desk or chair or even your fucking lap during the entire song, but the fill at the end.
I'll tell you, my fingers are killing me because like the piano comes in, which is like
in the mid-tro,
and I'm just like smacking my fingers on my desk.
The mid-tro, I said it. When Brian mentioned the mid-tro, man, it's all about the keys.
Yeah, those keys. My fingers hurt.
The keys brighten it up.
I'm not used to smacking the keys like that.
Look, we did a Led Zeppelin deep dive a while back. We did not play this song. But just a few things about this. So this song, it's a 12-bar blues progression. It's in the key of A. And I did not know this, but back in the days of true rock and roll, like actual rock and roll was a slang term for fucking?
Really?
That's what I'm reading right now. It says right here was the phrase rock and roll was a term blues musicians used, which meant sex. Or in my words, fucking. Because they're going to be blues trucking, they're going to be fucking.
Yeah, they just changed a couple of letters. The first letters, really, cock and hole.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So it's like...
That
it's like,
sounded like a fact you knew already, Brad.
No, I just kind of made that up.
Oh, well, he's being honest about his gaslighting now. He's come a long way.
Yeah, nice. I didn't want to, you know, everybody would have known.
Well, it sounds like Cockney. You know, like how like Cockney was like an accent used or a language, a dialect.
I thought
that
meant when your eyeball was like,
fucking Russell Brand in his crazy eyes,
cockeyed.
That's cockeyed.
No, Cockney is the accent, the dialect used
the
to like is like it's code. Yeah, like it from think of like Austin Powers, where Austin Powers and his dad are like talking to each other and
yeah.
Oh, you got into Barney Rubble. You know, they were having a whole conversation, but it's all like words that rhyme and sound similar. It's play on words to break it all down.
We have a ton of listeners in Britain, Bradley.
Yeah.
You dick. Anyway.
Good.
This song. Yes, that's right. That's right. And you know what? They would appreciate you doubling down.
Yeah.
This song was written while they were recording Four Sticks, which is a drum song where Bonham uses four sticks because he was amazing. R.I.P. But this song was written in response to critics basically saying that Zeppelin left the rock and roll roots when they put out Zeppelin 3. So that was the not the meaning, but the motivation behind it. So, but I always say, because there's been a few episodes, not even including the deep dive. There's been a few episodes where we have began the show with the Led Zeppelin song. And like, you know, it's going to be a banger of a fucking episode when he started off with Zep.
Yep.
Get that motherfucking lead out.
Yep.
Yep.
Pedal to the metal.
Pedal to the metal. And, you know, I hope everybody has Horace their metal pig with them. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, man, my throat is killing me.
Yeah,
not because I keep doing that. I feel like I'm coming down, like my throat and the back of my, I've got like itchy throat.
It just sounds like congested. That naturally when he inhales. There's something wrong with your throat.
Turn up the noise gate.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'll go next, if that's all right with you, Bradley.
It works for me.
Outstanding. I will go with another band of the era. Let's do some Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
We're going to bring it back to the wall.
We got a few bands of this era.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs, Another Brick in the Wall. This is part deux. And the outro to this is just iconic. So, again, Pink Floyd. Stand still, daddy!
Fucking Ricky Spence over there in the background yelling at them kids.
You! Yes, you behind the grandstands! Stand still, daddy! How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
That might be the most famous outro of all time.
One of them.
It's one of them, for sure. It was one of the first ones that popped in my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I just wish there was swearing in it. Just like, you're right, fucking twats. You can't eat your fucking pudding if you don't eat your meat, laddie. Just, oh, my God. It just, all Scots sound like Ricky over there on Unheard Indie. Just for you.
Yeah. Buddy. Yeah. Just about. In our eyes. In our ears.
Yeah,
in our American ears.
Yeah.
That is a good song. And you know what? I feel like we have to shout out Korn, because Korn combined all three parts of this song and did a cover, and they did it in their own way while staying true to the original. And that song, that cover of theirs, is an absolute fucking banger.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, I have it on vinyl.
Korns or The Wall?
The Wall. Yeah, it's amazing. I do love that this, I could have chose this for bass.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Bass episode.
Yeah.
Easy.
Or guitar solos.
Fucking guitar riffs. Guitar solo.
Yeah, guitar riffs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. It's a great
Pink
fucking
Floyd,
song.
Man.
I know, because you get the, you know, the journey. Right? You get a journey.
I love Journey too, but yeah.
Journey's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad, what do you got? How are you going to follow two rock and roll, like mid-70s fucking classics?
I feel like if you're going to follow classics, Brad, you should go with like a classical thing.
Yeah.
Classical?
I've been listening to... Well, this week was supposed to be my off week. You guys were supposed to do a deep dive. So I spent my week listening to two artists, and I have both of them on this list because that's all I've been listening to this week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Interestingly enough, we're going to put Outkast on here because I've had Andre 3000 blaring at home.
Blaring or moderately soothing you?
Yeah, at a moderate level.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it Andrew 3000?
I would say, so, I mean, it's been an interesting album, but to me, it's like, I think it's Andre 3000. You got to let him do what he wants to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And real quick, what's that album called? Because we're not playing that. But
no.
What's the album called?
Let me pull it up. No.
Hold on. New Blue Sun.
Yeah. Right. The album, every song track is wonderful.
Every song track is the goddamn, like, paragraph. Like, it's...
Yeah, I love it. It's...
Hold on, I have to go into full screen here to read the titles. The first track of New Blue Sun, I love this, is, I swear I really wanted to make a rap album, but this is literally the way the wind blew me this time. It's fucking fantastic, man.
Hey, can you play I Wanted to Write a Rap Song, but this is the way the wind blew me this time? Like, Jesus Christ. I thought Brand New had long song titles. My God.
Forget Brand New, dude. Fall Out Boy has the longest song titles of any band that I know of.
Longer than this?
Yeah, it's challenged. Yeah. It's challenged. They got some. Yeah. I would say if you put, head to head and going back and forth, that'd be an interesting episode.
So
just trying to find the longest song titles.
Brad.
Mm-hmm.
So were you listening to old Outkast in preparation of this album coming out?
I knew it was not going to be a rap album. He was pretty clear about that once he announced the album. Uh-huh. I had hopes that maybe that would happen, but everyone knows I love Outkast. I just spent the week, two artists, because Danny Brown also released his album on the same day. So it's been me listening to both those artists all week and then listening to their new albums. But it was definitely a journey. I don't know. It was really weird listening to that album and going, this is fucking Andre 3000.
Yeah. I mean, he did an interview with, GQ. Mm. It's all over YouTube. He did an interview with GQ and he's just hanging out at the laundromat. He's like, oh yeah, I do my laundry here. I'm like, Andre 3000, you don't have to do laundry at a laundromat, man. Like, he doesn't own the laundromat. He just goes to the laundromat and does laundry.
He's absolutely one of those characters in an RPG that's got some sort of random quest for you.
But you have
rare,
to unlock
or
it.
Rare items.
Yeah.
Oh, he's what's his face? Garvey from Fallout 4. Hey, go to the laundromat. See if we have a new settlement that needs to be built. But Leslie Jones was not happy with this.
Right.
And
her
fucking rant on The Daily Show was hilarious.
Yeah, it was that's what first drew me to the album. I was like, wait, what?
What was she upset about?
She got into a fight with Jordan Klepper and basically ended her rant by saying, y'all white people just turned Andre 3000 into Jethro Tull.
Yeah, she was not happy.
I'm a big believer in artists should have the ability to not be locked into one genre.
She addresses that too, Brad, and she says, I'm all for artists evolving and shit and not staying in their lane, but don't drive off the fucking road and
into
a flute store or some shit.
I don't know how she didn't see this coming.
I don't know.
I mean, anybody that's watched Andre 3000 knew something out of the... If he was ever going to come back, it was going to be something different.
Well, he did some stuff with
Orange.
Yeah. What's it? Oh my God, why am I blanking?
Frank Ocean?
Frank Ocean. Yeah. He did some stuff for Frank Ocean.
He still does features and stuff, but I figured when he dropped his own album, it was going to be something different. I mean, he kept getting different and different as we went on anyways.
Yeah.
Dude, this reminds me of that YouTube video where the guy's like, "Hey, did you get the jacket?" He's like, "No, there's just soup. Go to the next aisle. There's still soup. Why are you shopping for clothes at the soup store?" And it's like, Andre, can you lay down some bars? No, there's just flutes. Why are you shopping for bars at the flute store?
In the GQ episode or GQ interview, I should say, he mentioned that he's like, I can rap. Like, it's not a problem. Like, I wanted to be the greatest rapper. And that was like our, we would pray every night about being the greatest rapper. But rapping now just feels so inauthentic. Like, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to rap about.
You know what? I tip my hat to anybody that with everything going on in the world, if they know that they just should shut the fuck up. And I don't care what side you're on. I don't care. If you are, especially if you have a platform and you're like, I ain't got shit to say about it. Hey, thank you. Thank you for the flutes.
No, nobody wants your shitty opinion, So play some flute.
But well, but don't get me wrong, there are other artists that I do love hearing what they think. But I mean, it takes a lot. What I'm saying is that it takes a lot of restraint to not do that. And by him going from being one of the greatest rappers, a lot of people will put them in their top 10, if not even
yeah,
higher.
Yeah, yeah. I would.
He remains an outcast.
Yeah.
For going to flutes.
I mean, I think if the world just actually listened to the album, it would solve all the problems.
It's super relaxing.
I felt good after listening to it. I had to stop listening to it in the car because for the first time, I didn't have severe anxiety.
I pranked my wife with it. I was like, yo, we're going to listen to Andre 3000's latest album. She's like, right now? I was like, yeah, bedtime. And she's like, this is not an appropriate time to listen to hip hop. And I was like, you're right. That's why we're listening to flutes.
She's expecting fucking, my baby don't mess around.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, she was like, I really don't want to listen to this album. I put it on. She's like, what's happening? I was like, I don't know. Go get your salt lamp. we're about to get relaxed up in this bitch.
That's not what we're listening to. We're listening to Outkast.
We went
right?
on a tangent.
Yeah. But it had to be discussed.
No, we're going to listen to something a little older. We're going to be listening to Outkast's Rosa Parks off the Aqua Mini album. East Point to Shaolin.
Who was that in the conversation with him at the end?
I don't know.
Because it sounded like Nas. It sounded like Nas. And then he said Shaolin. So I'm like, is it Wu-Tang? Like, who's he talking to?
I'm pretty sure it's just Big Boy and Andre talking.
Oh.
And telling you about what they're bringing.
Spine tingling.
Yeah. And when you guys said outros, I was like, that was the first thing I thought about. And I feel like it's been kind of forgotten in modern day hip hop is
skits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier today.
Ken Kniff from Connecticut, motherfuckers.
Hey there, cowboy.
Like from the old Eminem albums. I feel like that was like a big thing on hip hop growing up.
It was.
Like skits.
Doggy style.
Yeah. That song has two. So I figured, I was like, okay, it has the instrumental outro, which is good. And then it has the skit.
And yeah, I was like, right. Yeah.
I haven't heard one of those in forever. And when you guys had said that, it was the first thing that popped in my head was, hey, rap. We got to do a skit.
Well, and I mean, skits, I mean, yeah, they don't do them too much. And if they are, it's more of an intro to a song. Yeah. But like when you think of.
Hey, real quick, the skit is Raekwon and Big Boy.
Oh shit, it's Raekwon. Okay, so
well, that makes sense.
It's sort of sounded like him, but it also sounded like Nas. but like the Chronic, you also get like the funny shit. Like,
yeah,
hey, who you gonna call? Who? These nuts.
Yeah,
you get fucking these nuts, man. What was the last time we had these nuts, Moose? When was the last time you had these nuts?
I have not partaked in these nuts.
Tis the season. Chestnuts roasting over an open fire.
These chestnuts roasting over an open fire. Moose, you're responding like you're answering in front of Congress. I have never partaken in these nuts.
I have not had sexual relations with that woman with these nuts.
I've never had sexual relations with these nuts.
That was better. Yeah. I don't have much of a Clinton, so pretty good.
Let me be clear. I've never had sexual relations with these nuts.
America. Never had. No, I'm mixing all of them up. I can't do it. I used to have a bush, but I never heard Bush speak.
He used to have a bush, and then he got manscaped.
Not a sponsor.
You got manscaped, and now we used to have a family tree. Now we got a family bush.
Family bush.
Barbara, it's funny, Brad. I was thinking about that earlier, and I think one of the last albums. I'm sure it's not the last album. It's the last one I remember having skits, like full on skits in it. Was Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah.
Because
well,
like
Kendrick was almost on this list, but I was banging through Outkast.
I wanted to do Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, but we just played him on the Kendrick deep dive a few months ago because I love those strings at the end of that song.
Well, and I wanted to do Outro again, but I did that on that album. So I was like, fuck, this would be better. It's like an outro and the song's named Outro, and it's the outro to the album.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I do miss.
No, that was good. I
enjoyed
that song. I mean,
it's Outkast. Of course you did.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest hip hop guy around here, but I enjoy me some Outkast.
Yes,
I too once was an Outkast.
As you should. You should enjoy Outkast. I think that's a red flag for me if someone says Outkast overrated. I'm like, get out.
You can leave. Yeah. The door's right there.
We've known each other for years. Lose my number.
Mom.
Yeah.
Mom.
I will cut you out of my life.
You always bring up mom. Brad didn't have a mom.
Oh, he loves reminding me.
He always.
Why? Jesus
what a
fucking
dick.
Christ.
Cutting Absolutely. My mom out would be the easiest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. She was never there.
Oh my God damn it. Brad, can you just get a mother for fuck's sake so I don't stop making these horrible adoption jokes on accident?
Listen, he got married. That's the closest thing he's going to get, okay?
If he starts calling his wife mother, I'm going to kick him out of my life.
Hey, mama.
All right, that's different.
Baby,
that's...
need uppies.
Uppies. Wait, hold on. That's a true story. She told us about that.
No, she's getting stronger and stronger. Eventually, I'm going to get all the uppies I never got as a child.
Wow.
She had no idea what she signed up for.
No, they never do.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And sign here, and sign here. And this just is a disclosure saying that everything's going to be great between us. And sign here, and sign here.
And don't forget the
uppy
clause.
It's a pros cons list. Because she never has to go to the in-laws for any holidays.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she likes her in-laws better than yours.
Yeah, it's uppies. And then not have to talk to my moms.
I really enjoy some of my in-laws.
I love the fact that, Mike, you keep forgetting that Brad is
yeah, I know.
Orphaned, yeah.
You know, that's that Pink Floyd song you played earlier gave me some PTSD.
What? Why?
I didn't play that. Else wasn't allowed to have pudding?
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Little Bradley?
Little Bradley
and
wasn't allowed to have pudding?
And I ate all my meat. There was just no pudding.
Yeah, and it was meat out of a can on toast, right?
Yeah.
Spam. Hardly
hey,
meat.
No, don't knock spam.
Just whatever I could get from the bigger orphan kids, you know?
Whatever they left you?
Yeah.
These nuts.
These nuts.
Hey, Brad, you want some of these? Oh, yeah, sure. These nuts. All right,
full
all right.
Circle, full circle. We brought it back, folks.
Yes, we did. Now we got to move on. So, I struggled with this list. It was very hard for me to do. Like two of the four tracks that I had to choose today came fairly quickly, but the other two, I mean, I'm just sitting there stroking, and nothing came.
What the?
Until it did. My brain.
Oh.
My brain. Until.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Brain blast.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then, you know, I hit that white note and I
There's
thought of a
Jimmy
band.
Neutron over here.
Jesus the, Christ.
There's something about me. What the fuck? Anyway, there's a band that is just known for putting great fucking riffs together. And that's AC/DC. I'm not a huge AC/DC fan. I mean, they certainly have a place. Like, I don't think they're over or underrated. I think most people will say that AC/DC is not their favorite band, but yeah, they rock. And those people, this song's for them because it's for those about to rock. It, you know, we salute you. There's guns. Yeah, there's a dude, the outro in this song, when he does the 21 gun salute.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, dude. All right, here we go. For those about to rock, AC/DC off of the For Those About to Rock album. Oh, fucking God damn.
I love it. I dude. Fucking love it.
Fire. God.
Dude,
feels
one of my
like
favorite.
There.
Yeah,
right?
It really does. One of my favorite facts about this is during their live performances at in their concerts, they would actually roll out cannons and fire cannons out into the audience. Maybe not cannonballs, but they would just like they would release cannons, like old school, like Civil War era cannons. It's fucking awesome.
Which is kind of crazy because 21 gun salutes are usually done with rifles.
Usually. Right.
At least the ones that I've seen.
Well, this isn't necessarily a 21 gun salute. This is actually based off of like the Roman prisoners were going to be executed in the Colosseum. And it was based off Ave Caesar Morituri Te Salutant, or Hail Caesar, we who are about to die salute you. So it's ancient Roman.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. So, yeah, he says for the 21 gun salute, but the line is, we're just a battery for hire with a guitar fire. Like, what a great fucking line. Ready and aimed at you. Pick up your balls, which... You know, AC/DC got some big balls. They got the biggest balls of them all, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pick up your balls and load up your cannon for the 21 gun salute. Yeah, you're right.
Fire! Yeah, shit's badass.
Oh, it's dude.
A fun song.
It's so fun. And actually, it gave me an idea. You know what question we haven't built a playlist around yet?
Balls?
Anthems and balls. Ball
I got
anthem.
You.
Balls one way, anthem the other. The ball anthem dance.
The ball anthem. Anthems? That would be fun.
We haven't done anthems.
That's a lot of Blink 182. They've got three of them.
Shit for you. Yeah. I can find some others, but yeah, dude, anthems. Like, I mean, Moose, you love Axl Rose? Paradise City?
Mm-mm.
Welcome to the Jungle?
I think we brought it up before last time we played AC/DC, which isn't enough on this podcast.
It's only been one other time, right?
Yeah, I love that the young brothers, born in Scotland, but raised in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, kind of like Men at Work.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how that.
What's
works.
What's that guy's name? Brennan? No, not Brennan.
Brennan.
What's that guy's name?
Colin Hayes?
Colin Hay. Yeah.
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 I was like, Brennan?
You played a song. This is off of the acoustics episode that you played. That and something Brennan was another guy that was on there who did that cover of Freshman. But yeah, the last time we played it, I think it was our very first episode, actually. It was song intros, and it was Thunderstruck, and you played it.
Hey,
so they are the only band to be on intro and our very first intro and
the
outro.
We totally planned that.
No, not at all. But it's funny how that works out. That's yeah.
How fun.
I fucking dude, like I'm not a huge AC/DC fan, but like there are songs that I do fucking love. Like the song that was my favorite for the longest time was Hell's Bells, because I fucking love the guitar riff.
Oh, yeah. And the fact they have a giant bell that they like, gong.
Yeah.
It's gong. It's, oh, gong. Yeah. The death bell.
Oh, the death bell. Mm-hmm. The death bell tolls for me. I fucking love it. But I seriously think over the years, this, for those about to rock, has become my favorite AC/DC song over the years.
It's a banger.
Yeah, because that hair metal sort of element to it where like the crowd's not there, but they're there. You can hear the crowd, even though you can hear what this sounds like in a gigantic fucking arena.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At the end of this song. And that's what I love about fucking hair metal.
Dude, fucking Brian Johnson's vocals also.
He takes old Axl Rose's voice and makes it sound great.
Yeah.
But and there are people that will complain about Johnson compared to the original Bon Scott. Honestly, like, how are you going to find someone else that is that unique, has that unique of a voice, also writes the same way, delivers it the same way? Like, most people that weren't around at the time can listen to two AC/DC songs, one of the, like, Runaway Train, like one of their more recent hits, and then you go back and you listen to like Dirty Deeds, which I think was Bon Scott was Dirty Deeds, wasn't he? I don't even know, and that's my entire point. Like, how do you find somebody
you're
that
you're
unique?
These people that you're referring to?
I am these people. All right,
that is him.
It's me.
You're the problem. It's you.
I am the people. Okay, and I don't know the difference.
Yeah, that's fun.
It
I like
fun.
That
AC/DC is fun. Speaking of fun,
I think I go next.
Yes, you go next. Woo-hoo! What's next?
So I'm going to throw a curveball at y'all because I'm not a big hip hop guy, like I said earlier in the episode. But one song that I loved, absolutely was enthralled with when it came out, is by none other than Childish Gambino and his song This Is America. And I fucking love that song, dude. The bass, the raps, the changes, the classical guitar, that shit has everything.
It's just got everything. Yeah. America has everything.
America's where it's at.
Yes.
I don't think that's a pro-America song.
I don't think it is either.
This is Childish Gambino's Born in the USA, which is also not a fucking prideful America song. I'm so sick of, oh man, when I hear that song Born in the USA by the Boss, it just brings a tear to my eye. I love it. Like, goddamn fucking people don't pay attention to lyrics. And I'm looking
at
you,
listen?
Moose. Actually, for this song, you got to watch the video. And one thing I just want to clarify, because I'm always so surprised of like people not connecting dots. Childish Gambino is Donald Glover. You know him from Community, or you know him as Uncle Aaron in Spider-Man Homecoming, or Miles Morales Part 2, Into the Spider-Verse? No.
Oh yeah, he does make a cameo.
Yeah, no, I know all
that.
Of this. I don't know who you're
talking
about.
I'm talking to the people.
Is that not common knowledge now?
I'm for the people.
Oh,
I'm talking to the people. Cuz I am so surprised at people that don't realize sometimes that, you know, somebody has like an alter, not an alter ego, but like a, you know, they do one thing and then they do something else under another name. But if you don't know fucking Donald Glover from Atlanta, Brad, you ever seen Atlanta?
I love Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta's so fucking good. I fucking love Atlanta. It's the paper boy.
Yeah, you finally got around to seeing it.
You did? I'm glad.
Oh, yeah. Me.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him from Derek Comedy on YouTube way back in the day. He used to be a sketch group.
I don't even know what that is.
He did that, and he also was on way before TikTok, way before... Fuck, the Vine. He was on Vine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember seeing some of his Vines like early on.
This song and Redbone, the other like big hit.
I almost chose Redbone too. That's a great song.
It's a great
Awaken. Such a good album.
Awaken. Awaken. Wait, different band.
Awaken. Awaken.
Rise. Rise. those two songs are my introduction to who Donald Glover was. And then, yes, Brad, you told me to watch Atlanta. And after a few years, I tried Atlanta.
Finally got to it and told me all about how I should watch it.
You should. You should totally give it a shot.
Classic.
I got to say true to the people because I am the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. That's he's multi-fucking talented. Like, to sing like he does on Redbone, to rap like this, to write the way he does. His acting, like he's, and fuck it again, dude, Atlanta, him and fuck, I don't know their names off the top of my head, but the guy that plays Snoop Dogg in Straight Outta Compton and the fucking Paperboy who like on the national, like the big stage, he was in, he played one of the Eternals in the movie The Eternals.
Oh, yes.
He was also in that movie with Brad Pitt on the train.
Oh, Bullet Train.
Bullet Train. He was also on Bullet Train. Dude, that I can't think of that guy's name, but him and the guy that played Snoop Dogg in Straight Outta Compton, he was also in The Harder They Fall, which had Jonathan Majors and Idris Elba, and has one of my favorite songs of all time, Black Skin Mile by fucking CeeLo Green. Don't get me started on that soul. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Like those guys are like they're coming up pretty quick. Like they're getting some big fucking roles and shit. And As they deserve. I just can't remember their fucking names. But yeah, good. Look at you picking hip hop, Moose.
I'm proud of you.
Childish Gambino is one of those like. There's very few hip hop artists that I actually like will dive into and listen to and really enjoy. And Childish Gambino is one of them. And not like this was even before I made that correlation that Childish Gambino and Donald Glover were the same person. Like I didn't start with Community and be like, oh, he's one of them hip hoppers. No, that wasn't me. I discovered Childish Gambino off of a meme like years ago, and I was like, oh shit, I like this.
Just
song.
So we're clear, most of the time that is you.
Yeah. Most of the time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You young whippersnappers.
You son of a bitch.
All right, Brad.
So, what's the next song?
We got a little theme going on, so I think I'm going to keep it going.
I'm going to have to break it.
We got Guns, America, and Firing Squads.
Yeah.
And they're all bangers, so I got another
literally.
One. Yeah. This is... one of my, well, everyone knows this. I've put them on the show. I think this is my third time now.
Maybe.
It may be more, maybe a little less.
Yeah, definitely not more.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a few words time. For the Firing Squad by Run the Jewels off Run the Jewels 4. LP does it the fuck again.
Holy shit. I had double stank face.
Yeah, you got two outros. And fun fact, it's the outro to the album, too.
Oh, damn. Triple play right there for Brandon.
Yeah, you know, hitting it all.
Hitting it
God
all.
Damn. I had stank face in the first half. I had stank face during the saxophone solo. I had stank face
mid-tro?
At the end.
The fucking mitro, bro.
The mitro, man.
All right. Hold on. Brad.
Yeah?
I have a complaint.
What?
But hold on.
About what?
Oh, hold.
It's
hold
about on. My goose pimples.
All right. I did have those. And LP is amazing. Let me disclaimer with that. Here's one thing I've noticed about Run the Jewels. That and maybe it is an artistic decision, but there's no release in his production. And I've noticed this with a few songs. You'll start off and you'll have him or Killer Mike and they'll start rapping and it'll be at like a normal like tone and pace, and then they get angry and they start adding all this fucking tension, and then the music is doing the same thing, and then the music just cuts. Mm-hmm. There's no like drop where they just like the music fucking like blasts in, and like you hear it in this song with Killer Mike. He's getting fucking like angry and angry and angry. And like, he's just going up, 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 up. And then you hear the drums coming in the background. I'm like, oh shit, here it comes. And then nothing.
They just stay angry though. That's what they do.
I think no release. The album is supposed to leave you angry.
There's no release. I want to hear a song the next time you play Run the Jewels. Like, I want to hear a song where them, LP and Killer Mike, along with the music, fucking go off, because like they go, but they don't go. They go to the edge and then they stop. They don't go off.
I got
the
something
edge.
Like that next time.
I've save it for the show. I'm very curious to hear it, because out of like the six songs of theirs that I know off the top of my head, and not every song needs to do this, so it doesn't always have a place. But there's just times when I'm listening to Run the Jewels and I'm like, oh, I'm about to
bust,
and yeah, and then I'm like, and blue balls, here it is.
Now you're angry for two reasons.
That's my only complaint about Run the Jewels as a whole, from what I've heard. But fucking when those strings came,
the strings, bro.
I was
you didn't get release on that.
I did a shimmy.
The crescendo on the end.
It's
of that?
Not the same. It's not the same release. One testicle is for beautiful music, and the other is is for like the anger fucking release. And so I'm very heavy to the right side right now.
Walking with a lean.
I'm walking with a lean. The fuck?
People think he's a pimp, but nah, he's just.
No,
fully nutted.
I've just been listening to Run the Jewels. I'm really heavy.
He's
on one
running
side.
Those jewels. Yeah. They're running him, I should say.
Well, I can't run with my right jewel. It's too heavy. Fuck's sake. God damn it. So, hey, Moosh.
Huh?
There's no reason to pull it out now, my jewel. There's no reason to pull it out now, but there was a very sexy saxophone
solo.
Hey,
going
yeah,
on.
There was.
And I told you to go get a fucking saxophone. Have you gotten a saxophone?
I've been working on it. I had to do some you know, backwards engineering with my mouth to figure out how to do a saxophone sound. I will attempt it. I'll give it. I'll give it a solid
give
go.
Give us a little flurry.
I'll give it. I'll give it a little.
What post edits
little,
for?
Yeah, yeah. A little.
Oh no,
college
no,
try.
No, no! I'm leaving
so,
it
so,
in.
Okay, that's fair. So, God, what episode was it? It was a couple weeks ago now.
That was Road Trip because it was the bro job.
The bro
we were,
job.
We were
so
listening
I,
to
you,
Hall
you,
and Oates.
You had a thing. You had a bit going, and you wanted a sexy saxophone, and all I could provide you was a trumpet, which arguably is not sexy.
It's not the sexiest of horns.
No. So I took the trumpet, which is a. Right? Jesus. Trumpet. Sounds like a trumpet. Feels
very
like a trumpet.
Trumpet.
Might
it's
as well be a
trumpet.
I had to shift some things around, and to get a saxophone, I had to like loosen things up. Because uh-huh. you have a reed in a saxophone and not just a brass mouthpiece.
Yep.
And so a saxophone is more like a...
Wow. Holy shit, Moosh. I mean,
does that sound like a saxophone?
That is not as spot on or as good as your trumpet, but like, it's
you're
on
getting
its,
there.
Yeah, it's on its
it.
Way.
It's
very
it.
Good.
Let me, you know what? Give me 2 seconds. Let's play back this track real quick, just where that saxophone is. Let me see if I can replicate it. Because I didn't try. I was vibing this whole song, so... That's kind of just singing along. That's what I got.
That's God damn. All right. So when we do love songs again for Ooh. Valentine's Day, and it seems like it's a long ways away. I mean, but 2 months.
You see
is
now,
gonna go
now
by fast.
Here's my qualm is whilst learning how to do saxophone, I listened to a lot of different saxophones. And I was like, love songs, you know, when you're thinking you're going to talk sexy to your girl and you're trying to get down and dirty and you want to put
just
on that
just do saxophone
Kenny,
tour.
You want to play that Kenny G.
Yeah.
But he plays Songbird. A soprano sax.
Andre 3000, actually.
Yeah. That's flute.
Yeah, but that's what you play.
And that's Andrew.
Now.
Yeah, now. But we didn't
know
that at the time.
2023, motherfuckers.
I'm just saying, in 1987, if you're trying to get laid, you're putting on some Kenny G.
Or you're doing Careless Whisper.
And I couldn't, yeah, or Careless Whisper. Mm. And I couldn't, my voice can't go that high. So I don't know how to do a falsetto and do the saxophone sound. And I couldn't get those sounds. I tried and I failed. Well, and I
we're
going to
do.
Throat. So maybe that's why my throat hurts today.
Okay, so when love songs comes, we're going to do.
Oh, what's going to come?
Some train wreck spoken word bridges.
Okay.
All right. It's gonna go down. It's gonna be Moosh. We're gonna go back to our improv days, and that's what
yes
we're gonna
and.
Do. We're yes and this is a pencil. Yes and.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It
sure
it's gonna be great. Okay. But we gotta wait. We gotta wait to do the love song.
Valentine's.
Yes. Exactly. So, I was thinking of other. I was thinking of Smashing Pumpkins. I'm like, there's got to be a Smashing Pumpkins outro. That's great. And they have some great intros. Zero, as soon as that fucking guitar comes in.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking, you know what it is. Tonight.
I feel like with most Smashing Pumpkins songs, as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, this is the fucking Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes, but there are, like, for the most part, Smashing Pumpkins, like, their outro is not a whole lot different than the rest of the song. So I had to find one that upped the tempo a little bit and added some different flair to things, changed the lyrics up a little bit. And it just so happens to be, if you're going to ask me, what's the most famous Smashing Pumpkins intro of all time, or even like what song would be in the top 10 90s intros of all time? Oh. I only got one thing to say to you. All right. And that's off of Bullet with Butterfly Wings, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. The world is a vampire. Dude, I gotta say, we put some banging fucking playlists together. Goddamn.
Yes, you know, yes. Whilst listening to that song, and it's a great song. I love it. It's fantastic. I was thinking about doing it at karaoke next time I do karaoke. He says, you know, Jesus was an only son. Clearly, they've never heard of Craig.
I'm fucking Craig. Ah, Stephen Lynch.
Everyone knows Jesus, the man who healed the lame. I am Jesus's brother. Craig is my name.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's
awesome. That was a song of the summer for 2023, dude. That was, oh my God. Now I want to listen to that.
Yeah.
I'm fucking Craig.
Craig.
Fucking Craig. Fucking Craig.
Craig Christ.
Anyway, this song, anyway. I fucking, and Moosh, the next time you and I get a chance to go to karaoke, like, I can sing this song on my best day. What I would be curious to hear you do is the fucking scream. Charge! Like,
you know, I was thinking about doing it in karaoke, but not singing it like how they sing it, but do it like, I don't know, just like
Frank Sinatra.
I don't know. The world is a vampire. Like bringing out, like, you know,
Attenborough,
yeah. I don't know why that popped in my head, but I just thought it'd be funny.
So what would the chorus sound like as David Attenborough, Moose? You kind of brought this on yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
In spite of all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
And we see the rat
in
its
cage spinning tirelessly as the days go by. I miss David Attenborough.
Oh, yeah. We got to bring him on the show more often.
Wait, is he still alive or did he die?
I think he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, Maggie Smith. Sure. Died.
No, Maggie Smith is still alive. Okay, so folks, yesterday I call Mike and I go, hey, is Maggie Smith alive or dead? Because my wife and I just got done watching Downton Abbey, the movie that came out in 2019.
The movie.
That I thought was brand new because I'd never seen it before, even heard of it. And I was like, oh, remember Maggie Smith? And she's like, oh, it's so sad that she died. I was like, yeah, I know. She died like 5 years ago. She's like, no, she died last year. I was like, what? And my wife was like, yeah, she died last year. I was like, no, she died like 5 years ago. I remember her like passing away right after Harry Potter like came out. And we got into an argument about it. Then I was like, all right, we'll ask Siri. We'll get to Google. We'll figure it out. And I couldn't find any data that supported our claims that Maggie Smith had died.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out she's still alive. So
that motherfucker David Attenborough is 97.
Oh, good God. Oh, I can't wait to watch what is it, the Planet Earth or any of his number of documentaries. I'm going to watch it.
I think a new one just dropped on Netflix. I don't know if it's him or not, but I think one of those Planet Earth documentaries just
like, I'll do it.
Dude, watching him talk about flamingos and watching flamingos like strut is just one of the joys of life.
I prefer Snoop Dogg.
You know what he's like? He's like the audiobook version of Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like Bob Ross, he's soothing, he's calming, he's like, just a little mistake over here, a little happy accident, and you're just on your way. And you're like, oh, thank you, Bob Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And David Attenborough is just like, yeah, those giraffes are battering the shit out of each other with their giant long-ass necks. But it's soothing because of your voice.
Wait, hold on. What would After Dark David Attenborough special sound like when he's talking about giraffes like whooping each other's ass?
After Dark?
Yeah, After Dark.
Yeah, I don't think he has an After Dark.
Oh, he's about to. And we see two male giraffes. Like, how would that...
In the wild, whilst fighting for the female's attention, two young buck male giraffes whip each other with their long neck. Having the same amount of vertebrae as the human neck, the male giraffes whip and whack until one of them snaps their neck and dies.
There was no swearing in that entire thing.
Was there supposed to be swearing?
That was the after dark part of it. You ruined it, Moosh. We got to move on. But
fucking dies. I don't...
Dude, one of my favorite David Attenborough like stories is when we had the Slow Cooked Bears on, and they're like, "Do you guys know who David Attenborough is?" And we're like, "Know him? He's here with us right now."
Yeah. No, I came right to the studio.
Anyway, Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and the Infinite Sadness is one of my favorite fucking albums. It's like essential fucking 90s.
Did we bring up how the Smashing Pumpkins name, like this, it's not them literally like squashing.
Oh,
squash.
Yeah, no,
a smashing as in like dashing, as in charming, as in
smashing as in the way Austin Powers would use it.
Huh. That's news to me.
Yeah, really? No, it's like smashing, like a smash hit.
Yeah, like, yeah. I always thought it was just like smashing them with like sledgehammers or something.
No, the squashing squashes.
Oh, the squashing squashes.
Yeah.
From Liverpool. The squashing squashes.
No, like it's smashing.
That'd be a great cover band for...
The squashing squashes doing the Smashing Pumpkins.
Gourds or something. I don't know.
All right. Well, anytime I bring up the Smashing Pumpkins, Corgan's like the first person everybody thinks of, but Jimmy Chamberlain deserves all the love for the Smashing Pumpkins because we're doing outros and that whole song, but the outro as well. Jimmy Chamberlain is going fucking nuts on those drums. Jesus Christ, dude. I've seen Smashing Pumpkins twice. I heard nothing but horror stories about their live performances leading up to that. And after seeing them twice, like, they are fucking amazing, dude. I got to see them perform Disarm acoustic my first time, which was great. The second time I went was CeCe. He was a little pissed off because they didn't play Disarm, but we got to hear an acoustic cover of Tonight Tonight, and that was
that's a good song.
Fucking mind-blowing. That was so fucking good. It's one of my favorite Pumpkins. It's one of my favorite songs from the Squashing Squashes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Good day. Who's next? God.
That was your pick. So me.
You.
So my next pick.
Mm-hmm.
Begrudgingly, because I had so many options to choose from for this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've played a lot of 70s and 60s or 70s music today. And so I'm gonna switch one of my picks because I thought for sure that you were picking a Radiohead song, Mike.
Yep.
And knowing now that you have not, I would like to swap one of mine out because Radiohead was my first pick, and the song or the artist that I did choose was a last pick, unfortunately. But man, off of OK Computer, we're gonna play Paranoid Android because the ending to this song, this entire song is a fucking journey. But the ending, god damn, the song fucking is one of my favorite songs of all time. This is Paranoid Android by Radiohead. Yeah. God, that song always brings me joy.
Tom York just has... What's something that he does, I think, just better. A lot of vocalists do it, but something that's just so unique about him is his ability to fade into sound with his voice and just sound like a fucking instrument. Like,
yeah,
tons of vocalists can do this. There's just something unique about the way Tom York does it.
Right. He never sounds like a singer. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't sound like, I don't know if he's ever been properly trained on vocalizing or singing, but he never sounds like a singer. He just sounds like Tom York.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like,
but he is singing. What do you mean?
No, like, he's hitting pitch, but it's not like he's, I don't, every song I've ever heard of either Radiohead or The Smile or just Tom York's like solo stuff or anything else he's done has been just very... Oh,
very Tom York.
That's Tom York. Yeah, I hear Tom York singing.
Yeah, but that's just uniqueness. That's Bon Scott, right?
Yeah.
Like we were talking about that earlier. But like, I hear what you're saying, Moosh, but I think the difference is in any of their single releases. If you think of High and Dry, Creep, Karma Police, like those just sound like songs that I wouldn't say anybody else could have written, but like, they sound more normal. They sound more in the mix of things. And yes, Tom York's voice is fucking unique, but it's songs like this and House of Cards and a few others where he just does this. Is aerating the right word? It just feels this atmospheric deal that he does with his voice.
He adds to the ambiance easily.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Instead of, you know, that's what it is. Like, instead of just what a lot of other vocalists will do is they cut through all the ambiance, which is not a bad thing. Robert Plant.
He's a part of the song.
He is the music. Like, I don't know how else to explain it, I guess. But Brad, I think you and I are on the same page. It's gorgeous. It's fucking, it's amazing, and nobody doesn't like it.
I know you've heard this song before, and a lot of people have heard this song before. It's one of their first singles off of OK Computer. I mean, that fucking, what, came out in 99, 97?
And this was the album.
This was 97.
I mean, this one has Karma Police on it, and let me see.
A lot of exit music for a film. We've had that on the show before.
Yeah.
Lucky's one of my favorites.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good tracks.
This whole album is, it's a concept album. Okay, Computer. It's all about androids and examining human behavior and human like social interactions and a lot of play at how just the political world is very robotic and android based. And it's very, very interesting. Like,
ahead
of
its
really
time.
Break down. Yeah, very ahead of its time. Well, I mean, 97, pretty ahead of its time,
We didn't have a whole lot of AI going on back then.
right. A runner-up for Radiohead, there's a lot of songs from Radiohead that I could have chosen. A runner-up was Burn the Witch, which is off a Moon-Shaped Pool.
My favorite album of theirs.
Really?
Yeah, I love that album.
It's a good album.
I just love sitting back and listening to that one.
He has it on vinyl?
I don't have it on vinyl.
Oh, I thought I was going to go one for two. At least.
No, I don't have. I have. What do I have? In Rainbows.
Now. That's and your newest one. Kid,
yeah,
right?
And then I have Kid Amnesia, which is a combination album of Kid A and Amnesia. Those are only two Radiohead albums I have. But the song that this replaced, because I thought you had a Radiohead album.
Yeah.
Or a song for this episode, the song that I chose as a backup was A Day in the Life by the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. I would have never admitted I used Beatles as a backup.
I know. the thing is, like, A Day in the Life is a fantastic song. It's one of my favorite Beatles songs. Mm-hmm. But the outro is so long. And then it just has that. And, like, as if you don't love the Beatles and you're not into the Beatles like that, like, hearing that for 30 seconds is just like, what the fuck am I listening to right now?
That's when it's okay to hit skip. We're going back to the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. It's one of those times where it's like, what the fuck? I got fucking drugs in the 60s, you fucking stoners.
And I want to say there's a story behind that. There's something about that song that had Lennon hung a mic from the ceiling and he made it swing like a pendulum, and there's some weird shit, not only with
fucking stoners from the 60s,
dude. Sergeant Pepper and the Lonely Hearts Club Band, like, there is a lot of weird shit that went on that fucking album, and this
experimental,
is
experimental,
you
mean,
and that was the closing track off of that album.
That was a backup. I really wanted to put Beatles on here. They have a lot of weird outros, but Radiohead was my first choice, so I had to honor
and
that one. I noticed you didn't
and
have
I think
Radiohead.
For this, it was the best choice.
We had Pink Floyd and Zeppelin and AC/DC. We represented the 70s and 80s pretty well.
What?
Would you say the end of that Beatles song that you were going to put would scare the hoes?
depending on when the hoes were pulled out of the tool shed, I would say so.
I don't know. I don't have a garden, so.
Moosh is the tallest. Moosh is the tallest man in said garden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I would say depending on how long the hose have been in or outside of the tool shed, I think so. Where are we going with this, Brad?
You're working on your segues, and I appreciate it. Please continue.
This was my best attempt at
a segue.
Going into a segue, that is the term. So this is off of JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown's album together. I don't. What do you call it when two artists
collab? A collaboration.
Collaboration. That they named their album Scaring the Hoes, but this was some of the music that came after the actual album. This was just more stuff that they had put together, didn't release, and decided to release it. And I love this DLC pack. They released it on a USB that's shaped like a little vape. Super cool.
What the fuck? It even the album literally says Scaring the Hoes, : DLC pack. Not Scaring the Hoes, : DLC pack.
Just the DLC pack, downloadable content. Wow. I bought the original album on vinyl. Can't buy this one on vinyl. Yeah, you can't get this one on vinyl. But you
can buy it on vape pen.
Yeah,
you can get it on vape pen.
You're buying music via vape pen?
This year.
This is the future.
Oh, okay.
Nani, the
You smoke your music now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's Willy Wonka's Wonderland.
What's the song called?
Hermanos. Danny Brown's got such an interesting voice. He's got two different voices.
Yeah,
in fairness.
That was both Danny Brown rapping?
No, well, one of those was JPEG and Danny Brown. But when you listen to a full Danny Brown album, there's two different Danny Browns that he'll bring out. And that one's more of like the Eazy-E kind of like high-pitched. And then he's got one that sounds a lot more like JPEG does, but he's so interesting. I love the beat selection though.
Yes. Who rapped secondly? Like after the first
That was JPEG Mafia.
Oh, okay.
Which I will eventually feature more of.
So I went down this rabbit hole. I was listening and I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed the second half. I guess I didn't enjoy Danny Brown in the intro.
Because
I didn't enjoy the mix.
Taste.
His voice was fine. I didn't enjoy the mix. Like his voice was too quiet compared to the samples.
That's actually
been
a complaint about this whole album, and has been pointed out. And it's the DLC. It hasn't been remixed yet. This was just something they dropped raw.
Okay. Because I was like, I don't like that they're competing for space in that vocal area. but then the second rapper . Dude, it sounded like they rapped over Nujabes before.
I could see that.
I
He's
don't
highly
think
influenced.
So. Like, I'm trying to find it, and I can't find anything about... I couldn't find any of the rappers that rapped over Nujabes.
Oh,
but,
well, he wouldn't have been around from that time.
Right. But yeah, highly influenced by, like, various Nujabes rappers.
Yeah, he also... JPEG does the entire instrumentals. He's... the producer for this whole album.
I love when they sample like some soul with some doing highs in the background. Like what this song really reminded me of was Fear by Kendrick.
Oh, it's like with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah. Mark, what the fuck? What are you doing right now? Fear, you know, off of the Damn album. There's this, like, it's got the highs and stuff in the background, and it's just the way that it's mixed. I loved it, and when that bass kicks in, but I'm like, I'm with Moosh. Like, I see why you would say that Eazy-E style or whatever. There's no comparison between him and Eazy, but I see what you're saying. He reminded me, and I don't even know the name of the rapper. He's on When We Were Kids off of the Ludacris album that had Rollout on it. Was it Chicken and Beer? I don't remember that. I don't remember what album that was on, but there's a song called When We Were Kids. There's a rapper that comes on there, and he's got like not the Eminem, the old Eminem, like, hey, yo, like not that, but like he had a similar voice. That was the thing it reminded me of. But production wise, that was great. I thought it was awesome.
It's a fun song, and it makes me want a subwoofer in my car. Even
Get a wolf.
It was off the Word of Mouth album.
Word of Mouth, that's what it was called. Yeah. There's a song called When We Were Kids on that album, and there's a rapper on there. I don't remember who the fuck it was, what the name is. That's what his voice reminded me of.
Could be Danny Brown. He's been around for a while.
I would say that this reminded me of, there's a bar here in Portland that I don't know what day of the week it is, but once a week they have they dedicate an entire wall. They have a projector that projects old, like, kung fu and like karate movies, like just old Japanese or Asian, like fighting movies, kung fu movies. And they'll play those in black and white. And then they'll just play hip hop.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Dude, it is so fucking cool how those two
Wu-Tang
things, like,
as hell.
It's very Wu-Tang. Like, I love that those two genres of media can intersect with each other, and it's still like, it fits. Like, watching old kung fu movies and listening to hip hop is one of my, like, I'm loving it, and I want to get more into it. Like, I'm starting to dive really into
Moosh. You have Hulu. Go watch Wu-Tang Made in America. You want to get more into it, go watch the fucking... I told you to watch this shit, like, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I'll get to
Give
it.
Give him 3 years, and then he'll recommend it to you.
Yeah, I know. He can return... Yeah, can return the favor, Moosh!
Hey!
But, yeah, I mean, there's only one group that did that, and it's for the children.
That's right.
Wu-Tang for president.
Wu-Tang for president. That's right. Wu-Tang is forever. So that was good. So
I enjoyed that.
I have a repeat. Usually, like, we try not to repeat songs, but at least if we're ever going to, we try to shout it out. And this was an audience pick off of our Linkin Park deep dive, which we lifted the ban on Zeppelin and we lifted the ban on Adele and Linkin Park. I think we still have a standing ban on Taylor Swift. I think she's the only one.
Whatever. I'll find a reason to bring her on with, you know.
Well, I did bring her. I brought her on not too long
ago. Yeah, she was on our anniversary episode. I mean, there's just like,
it's
and the
enough.
Only reason
Lavender Haze. I fucking love that song.
And the only
you
reason
got me
why,
into it, and I hate you for it.
You're welcome.
The only reason why we ban any artist is because we've played them too fucking much.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
but true. When it comes,
except for Aerosmith, they're banned for other reasons.
Limp Bizkit. I played Dream On when I went on my rant about Aerosmith in our 70s.
You played any Aerosmith and I will find a Limp Bizkit to put on that playlist.
It was 70s.
Well, luckily I wasn't there.
It was 70s. There's no Nookie in the 70s.
There was Nookies and cookies, bud.
But
well, you can take that cookie.
Shove
it
up your
I'm
ass.
Here and you're here, isn't it our pizza?
But
anyway, we talked on the Linkin Park deep dive about something that Linkin Park, they're not the first ones to do it, but I think they're the ones that really just like made it a thing, made it part of their brand, and that is like throwing multiple choruses at each other to end a song. Like they'll take the first verse and put it in at the ending, at like a hook at the end of the chorus, like Crawling, right? It's Crawling in My Skin, and it's like Something Inside of Me That Builds Beneath the Surface is also playing. Like they do that all the time, and this song does that. But this song has like almost a completely, it's like two songs, and we've had a few tracks on here that are like this. This was the crowd pick of our Linkin Park deep dive episode, and this is off of 1,000 Suns, one of my probably my favorite fucking album from Linkin Park. This is The Catalyst. Yo, did anybody request like a 2.5 minute outro?
Oh god.
Dude.
The longer the better.
Oh my god.
Oh lord.
That song is so like Moosh, you and I were fucking like fist pumping. Fucking headbanging, and then it gets to the fucking the breakdown, and then
the fucking
whole,
lighters in the air. For the young kids, iPhone light, flashlight on the air.
Your phone lights in the air with the "Lift Me Up, Let Me Go" part. But fucking Rob Borden and Brad Delson like carrying that fucking goddamn dude. Yeah,
that whole track is a masterpiece.
That is, it really is. It's one of my favorite songs. Like it's easily in my top five. And if I had to think of like what songs would I have wanted to see live in a packed stadium and be in the pit for, like this is in my top three. It's probably like this, No More Sorrow off of Minutes to Midnight, and then probably, probably just fucking, you know, they're, I don't know. Oh, no. What is that song? A place for my head.
Okay.
Those would be my top three songs to be in the motherfucking pit, not caring about my life, limb, or injury. God damn. I fucking love that song.
Yeah. No, that's a good track. That's a good ending to our episode.
Yes, yes. An epic note.
An epic note, dude. God damn. So fucking good. And this is the one, the fucking singer sang at the Chester Benefit concert. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Fucking Sum 41. They're almost over.
Yeah. What's his name?
I never remember.
I don't.
He's got pipes, believe it or not, too. That's the crazy thing. Listening to Sum 41 and then him do this, you're like, holy shit, where'd that come from?
He blew this fucking song like out the goddamn water, dude. And that's
I feel like Sum 41's definitely underrated.
They are underrated, but you're never like vocally thinking of him being on this like close to this level.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely vote for him to be part of Linkin Park.
I'd love it. I'd go pick up the torch.
Take it, dude. Yeah, I've been talking about this since I saw that night. I've brought it up on this show that whatever the fuck his name is, I'd be
what
okay
the fuck
with
is
it.
His name.
I don't know, but I'd be okay with it.
I feel like we should know this.
I always want to look it up. I always want to say Dexter, what's his fuck, but that's Offspring. This is the other guy.
Yeah, so I love him too.
Derek Whibley.
That's his name.
Derek Whibley. Derek Whibley.
Oh, fuck. That's such a good fucking song. God damn. Yeah. I said favorite album earlier, Brad, but I don't know, dude.
It's hard to pick. It really is.
It is. And on my deserted island, I think I took Meteora, but I was like really in a Meteora mood because like the collection, the special edition and all that like just dropped. Lost just came out. But I mean, I don't know. It's probably between A Thousand Suns and Minutes to Midnight. Like I love both of those fucking albums.
They're both good.
I just learned some fun facts about Derek Whibley.
Oh, yeah?
First off, he's from fucking Canada, bud.
Oh.
Oof.
And he was married to Avril Lavigne from 2006 to 2010.
Celebrity marriages. They never last, do they?
Yeah, he was a skater boy. She said, see you later, boy.
he's Eskimo Brothers with Chad Kroeger.
What?
Yeah. He is, but gross.
What?
What is that? What an Eskimo brother is?
I do not.
Oh, poor baby.
We'll have to explain that off the air.
Poor guy.
Like they rub each other's noses together?
That basically.
Let's hope not.
You could say that.
Eskimo brothers.
Don't Google it.
Yeah, you've been in the same igloo, you know?
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means.
I just used like the most obvious innuendo and it didn't work.
I'm uncomfortable. Oh, there it is. Oh, they have sex in an igloo. I have no idea what this means. Oh, you're doing Baker Street.
Yeah, man.
Yes. You're getting good with that fucking sex over there, Moose.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best out here.
Yes. That's awesome.
I'm gonna get myself a real saxophone.
No, you don't need it, buddy. You just use your mouth. You and I can be Eskimo brothers.
That's
absolutely not.
We brought up how Mike has pineapples all around his home.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I
there
mean,
was that.
You're saying there's a chance.
This is, I feel like, I'm the oldest one out of the three of us, but not by much. But I feel like Harrison Ford in Shrinking, where it's like, I'm tired of you raw dogging me. You raw dogging me.
That's
work
still
the other
not
day.
On the right train.
Now you're raw dogging me in the parking lot.
God damn it.
I'm tired of being your Eskimo brother. You made me your Eskimo brother at work. Now you're doing it at the party. All right. I'll have to figure out what this means. Anyway.
Oh,
this
boy.
This has been our unique playlist built on the question, outros? And again, a fucking banging playlist, man. We do this every goddamn
week.
We're
getting better at this.
I feel like we are.
I feel like we have been. We've been doing this long enough. We got a year under our belt. Literally 60% of fucking podcasts do not last more than a year.
We really got
that going for us.
I find that we here at The Cut are really making playlists for the eclectic.
And scaring the host.
We got it all.
We do. It's always an eclectic fucking playlist. Maybe you don't like everything that we put on here, but you're for damn sure going to like some, and you're going to be introduced to some new shit. That's what we do. And we would love for you guys to communicate with us, and you can do that by following at The Cut Music 1 on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Or check everything else out at thecutmusic.com, including our merch store with The Cut Music merch, as well as Metal Health is Mental Health branded merchandise, which all proceeds, once again, go to help those that are struggling with mental health issues. We have been your hosts, Mike and...
The Moosh.
And Brad. Oh, wow. And we will see you guys with Moosh and his sacks next week. Peace.
Moosh in the sack. This is getting off the rails fast. Bye.
Later.